Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, Tommy Royals. So they lose the series to the Rays. Alec Marsh does not have a good start yesterday. I don't think... Look, the standings are concerning. We'll get to that in a second. In its totality, though, losing a series to the Rays, even if it's at home, when you don't get Lugo or Reagan's pitching in that series, I can live with that. Maybe if there wasn't a rain delay Monday that made that kind of weird, maybe, and they lost, I'd be a little more bothered. But when I think about the rain delay, when I think about your fifth starter giving you a bad start occasionally, I don't think it bothers me too much. What bothers me is basically everybody else in the playoff chase won yesterday. So now you look at a situation in the standings that bothers me, in which the Royals are in third place in the Central, 8 games back of Cleveland, who just couldn't get on a big losing streak if their life depended on it. And then you go over to the wild card, and the Royals would be out of it today. They get a bunch of games against Boston coming up here pretty quick, which is good. But they're the third team. They're losing ground on Minnesota. Minnesota's becoming a problem, a big problem. They've played a bunch of games against Minnesota. They have a few left, not as many as they have, I don't think, against Cleveland. But, you know, it's a problem right now. And the good news is they play Boston, I think, 5 or 6 times over the next little bit. So they can handle that sort of themselves. We know Houston's coming on strong, which means you'll have to hold off probably Seattle. It's a mess, and you just can't afford a lot of this. So on one side, it doesn't bother me too much because I think the circumstances of the series make sense. But on the other, this is sort of what I think they're going to be dealing with the rest of the way. Like, that's always kind of going to be the case. There's too many teams. I don't know that I don't think 90 wins is going to get there this year. I think it's going to be 92, maybe. It's hard for me to imagine with all these teams and the circumstances that there aren't going to be at least those wild card teams aren't going to be at least at 91 wins. It just feels that way to me.
Yeah, and yesterday's game, I think, really went back to what we had seen from the Royals a few weeks ago, where it was them falling behind early, then the offense kind of comes alive, but it's not quite enough to get all the way back. That had sort of been the theme for a while. Then it moved into a theme of just the Royals couldn't hit. And that was written. The pitching was great. And so it kind of shifted. Now you're back to that falling behind early, Alec Marsh getting chased after threes. And then really the middle of the game, the middle of the bullpen, didn't pitch well yesterday at all either. Carlos Hernandez had a bad inning in 2/3. Will Smith didn't look particularly good. Nick Anderson didn't look particularly good. Now, I'm not super concerned about those three guys because they're not right now, the way the bullpen stands, really the high leverage relievers for the Royals. They're more like you fall behind early and you try to, you know, have them come in and just to hold things where they are. And they didn't do that, obviously. But the Royals offense kind of came alive. There was that crucial moment when Bobby Witt Jr. tried to steal second base and got thrown out, and that ended the Royals rally a little bit. They made it exciting. But ultimately, you know, I think that it's, I've seen a lot of people in the last 12 hours or so talk about that they are concerned about the Royals because they lost the series to a Rays team that now barely over 500. And so the thought process I've heard from people is, well, if they can't beat a barely over 500 Rays team, then how are they actually going to compete to make a playoff spot? I think it's a little bit different for me, in my opinion, on this because the Rays are better than what their record indicates. They've underperformed. They've underperformed this season. And so I don't look at them as a barely over 500 team. I look at them as a team that should have a better record than that. So I kind of fall where you fall on this. I'm not as overly concerned about them losing this particular series against the Rays as I was when they were on the road and they were, you know, falling, you know, to other teams and losing series to other teams. I'm not as concerned about this one. And I think especially because you mentioned the Red Sox, they're coming up. But honestly, it's this weekend set on the road at Colorado. I think the expectation should be that they sweep this series or at bare minimum,
even on the
take
road.
Two of three. The Rockies are not very good.
No, they're terrible. Look, I'm not casting stones because I've certainly done this. But taking a bird's eye look and saying the Rays aren't very good, you know that it's taking it. The Rays have won 10 out of their last 14 games.
Right.
And not only have they won 10 out of their last 14 games, within that is a series win on the road against Minnesota and a series win against Seattle. And now a series win against Kansas City. So Tampa started slow, but Tampa's not a bad team. Tampa's not even a 500 team. Tampa's a good team that started slow, much like Houston. Right, much like Minnesota, much like a lot of these teams in this race, good teams that start slow don't make them bad teams.
Yeah, I think they've come alive. They've come alive.
Looking at records sometimes, especially in baseball, is a fool's errand. You have to look at basically, like, what have you done over the last 2 weeks when you come into a series against a particular team? Or you'll be fooled. Now, there are some situations, like with the Rockies. Yeah, that doesn't matter. Rockies are not good. They're not. They've never been good this year. They're not going to be good. That's different than the Rays. So when you look at the schedule, you have to consider some of that, right? When you're paying attention to that. The easiest way, if you're a casual Royals fan, the easiest way to do that is just to go to any of the baseball standings. Right. And then all you got to do is go in there and look. They all tell you what these teams have done over their last 10. OK, so the Rockies coming in right now are 3-7 in their last 10. OK, they're bad. They've been bad. They're playing bad currently. That's a series you shouldn't be too worried about. You go look at a team like St. Louis, St. Louis is only 4 games over 500. Do you remember how poorly St. Louis started the season? That means they're white hot right now. You got to play St. Louis like that, you know, and then after that, it's at Boston. All these games are on the road, by the way. These 8 games are on the road. Boston obviously has been playing well all year, and they are a team you're chasing directly in the standings right now. So this is no easy task. That's why the Colorado series needs to be. Not only that, you get Colorado and you get your 3 best pitchers. You get your 2 best pitchers, and whether you think Singer or Waka is better. I probably trust Waka a little bit more, but Singer's been good his last couple times out. Like, you get all of that. And then you're going to get those same 3 against Boston. So you can't just look at when we look, because we do pay a lot of attention to the schedule, because what I don't think is that the Royals are some schedule-proof juggernaut. They're not. We got to be realistic about what the Royals are. They are an incredible baseball story this year. Most improved team, not even particularly close. But they're not a schedule-proof juggernaut. They're a flawed team. Can they fix those flaws, I think, is what we focus on the next month. But they're a flawed team. So it does matter who they play and when they play them. And when you play, I'd have much rather played the Rays in April than right now.
Maybe
the Rays
where are on you play them
flipping
too.
Fire.
I think that's part of it a little bit. And
with the Royals,
who you have, who you have available, and the order of the rotation, like, there are a lot of variables.
All that stuff
that come into play.
Right,
look at a team like the Dodgers or the Phillies this year. The Yankees have fallen off a little bit. I would even maybe put the Guardians in that category.
Absolutely.
Doesn't really matter who they're playing. Doesn't really matter who they're sending out to pitch. It just, they're gonna have a fighter's chance. And maybe even better than that, they're going to be probably expected to win those games, regardless of what the situation is. The Royals, I agree with you in that regard. It is more of a situational, conditional, atmosphere for Kansas City, depending on who they're playing, how hot they are, what, I mean, all these different things that come into play about whether or not they're actually going to have the best shot to win the game. I go back, by the way, to the game on Wednesday night. And that's another reason why I'm not overly concerned after this Rays series, because Michael Wacha, number one, pitched awesome on Wednesday night. The Royals were clutch when they needed to be clutch. Salvi was clutch, added insurance runs when they needed it the most. And the Royals held on to win, obviously punctuated by that great Kyle Isbell catch to basically seal the deal for the Royals. But that was, to me, that was the kind of game that I look at and I say, that's an October baseball game. That's an October playoff baseball game that they won. Now, they lost the other two in the series. The game on Tuesday, the rain delay, all that stuff, that didn't help them. And then, of course, the game last night, they lost the series overall. But watching the way they played on Wednesday, that's, again, a flash of, man, this team is absolutely good enough to compete to be a playoff team.
It is. Their margin of error is just small. And so that's why you hope, and again, we'll ask J.J. Piccolo this on Monday, that's why you hope that they're in a position to be as aggressive as humanly possible at the deadline. And I mean that in the sense that, because I've seen, it's funny to me. So last year, I did not agree with the masses, and when everybody early on was like, sell, trade Bobby Witt, this will never work. I'm like, hey, now hang on a minute. Like, yeah, sell your pieces that don't look good in the future, but that doesn't make any sense to me right now. And then now you sort of have everybody, well, the masses, I would say, no, you don't want to sacrifice the future. I've just been on the opposite end of that. I think you're in a position here that is so difficult to project the longevity of it that you have to be aggressive now. That's always been my point. It may not work out, but God, they owe it to the fans to at least try. And it's not always that way. Like 2014 was not that way. 2014, you had a team. I mean, I don't know how many of those guys, 7, 8, 9 of those guys were young, coming into their prime, under control. Like, you had a core there that you weren't really going to mess with, right? They really don't have that right now. They have Bobby Witt Jr. They have Salvi. Listen, I'm going to give him his flowers because Vinny Pasquantino is finally starting to come to form this year. They have Vinny Pasquantino. That's kind of it in the lineup, right? That's like, if you told me what three players in the offense would you build around, it would be those three. And I'll concede on Pasquantino. I hope he's awesome. Again, I said that a million times. Out of the bullpen, how many of those bullpen arms are sure things? Because I would say zero of them, right? Like none, not one. Like, you don't have one that you're like, that's a dude that's going to be there. I would say none of them.
There's a couple that I feel like the ceiling is fairly high, but as far as
there's
just
a couple
the,
that are
the reliability are isn't always there for
and the long term usage, right? Like when in 2014, you probably had four guys in that bullpen that you were like, these are going to be those dudes for a while, and they were. In the starting rotation, you have basically five, right? That's the strength of this team. We know that. You at least have four. And you have them all for this season and next season. Okay, that's it, right? And so I want you to imagine a future, and this is a very real possibility, that next year you might be trading Lugo, Wacha, right? You might have to trade Singer. He's going to be coming up near the end of his deal. You might have to trade those guys because everything hadn't lined up and you were in contention like they are this year. And that's a very real possibility. And if we're being honest with ourselves, if they're not in contention at this point next year, that will be those will be the moves to make because they'll be able to return a ton. So if you think about that, that means this is the year. They're in a position to do it now. They're in a position to compete. They have all the pieces. Now is when you add because you might have to tear it down next year. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a very real possibility because what do you think the chances are after next year they can bring back Lugo, Waka, or Singer? You might be lucky to bring one of those guys back because they're going to be really expensive based on what they're doing right now. This is your window. Like, this year is the way, and maybe next year.
I think next year probably you can add into that too.
You would use those guys. But I would tell you that the planets have aligned for them in a lot of ways. Health-wise, you know, there have been a lot of things that have gone their way this year that could very easily not go their way next year. So you just have to be really careful with talking about building for the future. What future? There's not a lot there. So don't, like, it's in front of them right now. Like, right now.
There's been this narrative, and I don't disagree with it all the way, but a narrative, and we've said it on this show, there's not a whole lot in the farm system. There's not a whole lot to build off of. That being said, though, I don't know if you saw this. There are two Royals minor leaguers that were named to the Futures game. CJ Alexander and Brooks Lee, I think, was the other one. You know, those are a couple guys that,
Just got called.
Brooks somebody. There are two of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so those two guys, they may not show up on rankings and that sort of thing. They're playing really well right now. The cupboard is not completely bare, I guess is my point.
There
are some future prospects that are probably there that can be contributors in the future.
There are in every minor league system, but it's not obvious and it's not loaded. And it might be the worst. I'll have to go look. It's close to the bottom of the league. And farm systems right now. Now, those things change really fast. They've called up some high-level players recently. That impacts that, right? When you call, so that's also a reason to imagine a world where they might have to trade some of these pieces away if next year doesn't go well, if they're not, you know, blessed with good health like they've been this year. Like, you have to strike while the iron's hot. Even in a crowded year, you got to go. You got to go. We'll talk about it and tell you what, we'll give you what one place is sort of reporting at early rumblings of the deadline. The problem for everybody is there's so many teams in contention, nobody wants to sell yet. And that's, I'm sure, and we'll ask JJ Piccolo Monday, but I'm sure that's a part of the reason they haven't been able to do anything. 869-1240, the IHOP hotline. You can leave your comments on our video stream as well, which you can find in all the usual places, Facebook, YouTube, X. We'll be right back. More Royals talk on Sports Daily.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them,
Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.